This is Radio 4. We present The Unfortunate Furzy by Mervyn Wall, dramatised for radio by Christina Reid, with Timothy Bateson as the devil and Fenella Fielding as Gertie. The Unfortunate Furzy.
Sleep. My Lord Satan commands it. What an unattractive little monk you are. And yet, the devil has come to Ireland just because of you. Or rather, your simple soul.
They're much the same, God and Satan, when it comes to souls. They both prefer the difficult ones, the ones that play hard to get. God is glorified by the return of the prodigal son. And Satan rejoices in the possession of the uncorrupt innocent. I don't have much time for souls myself. Give me a good body any day. There's nothing I don't know when it comes to the sins of the flesh, Fuzzy. And that is why I'm here.
Quiet, Gertie. Don't wake him.
My Lord Satan. Welcome to 11th century Ireland.
Ireland is the same in any century, Gertie. Wet and green and pious. But we are going to change all that, Brother Fuzzy and me.
And me. Shall I seduce him now?
Oh, really, Gertie, you are so basic about men.
I know what they all want. I've had thousands of years of practice.
Brother Fuzzy is different. That's why I have a special interest in him.
He doesn't look very special.
They really do.
Looks a right simpleton.
No, not a simpleton. A simple soul. Don't you realize, Gertie, that you are in the presence of genuine, holy simplicity? A rare commodity in the 11th century. In any century.
Genuine, holy simplicity.
Yes.
There's no such thing as an uncorrupt, middle-aged Irish monk.
Just the one. Isn't he fascinating?
A man is a man in any century. I'll corrupt him for you.
Thank you, my dear, but no. If winning Furze's soul were that simple, I wouldn't be fascinated.
I'm so bored. When are we going to start haunting this monastery?
Where are the rest of the children?
Waiting in the woods.
Tell them it is time. Tell them we will haunt this sanctified citadel for 15 days and nights. Tell them, Percy is mine. Horned satyrs and the hairy ones shall dance in their palaces.
Isaiah chapter 13.
How very well read you are, Gertie.
Brothers, the battle is over. We became complacent, and the evil one gained entrance to this holy city. For 15 days and nights, we have been petrified by pale, bleeding wraiths, hounded by hideous dogs, terrified by howling demons, wrestled with the unspeakable incubus. Hydras, scorpions, ooms, and pards have filled these passages with their hissings and their sibilations. But God, His Holy Mother, and the Blessed Kieran have delivered us from them all. Let us give thanks.
Deo tibi gratias.
Satan has fled.
No, he hasn't. Has he, Brother Fuzzy?
Please. Please go away.
But the children and I are very happy in this nice, safe cell of yours. Look at them. Listen to them.
Aren't they sweet?
But the abbot. the exorcism.
Your abbot is a sanctimonious fool. How fortunate, Fuzzy, that fear renders you quite incapable of ejecting us with a string of Latin. The children just love you. See, they won't harm you. Your cell is our sanctuary. You, my dear Fuzzy, are our bridgehead. Now, wouldn't you like to experience the excitement of the real world outside this pious prison?
No, thank you. I'm very happy here.
You have no idea what happiness can be, darling. Let me teach you.
You pledged to chastity.
I think, Gertie, that your excessive comeliness and great experience may be more intimidating than enticing to a man of Furze's delicate temperament.
Ah, it's nothing personal. I'm sure you're a very nice young woman, but I'm a monk.
You're a fool.
Even a foolish monk must have desires. What do you desire, Brother Fursey?
Nothing.
Oh, there's always something. Whatever it is, I can arrange that it shall be yours.
Nothing, thank you.
But you haven't seen what I'm offering you yet. Now, take your hands away from your eyes, Fursey, and look. Look at the kingdom of Kashal. The Princess Maeve of Kashal. Innocence, youth, and beauty. Is she more to your taste, Fursey?
Well,
perhaps you would prefer the riches of her father, King Cormac Silkenbeard. Imagine yourself in those royal robes of saffron and blue, that golden circuit of Kashal gleaming on your noble head. Observe, my dear Fursey. Observe the lives of the rich and famous, and choose.
This is no sight for a young maid.
Or a middle-aged servant.
What on earth is the king doing? What's that thing he's sitting in?
It's called a bath. You fill it with warmed water, and you take all your clothes off, and you splash about in it.
What for?
For pleasure. You know how my father loves pleasure above all else. Would you look at that old fool? Have you ever seen anything like it?
Seen, my lady?
Don't you act the innocence with me. You were peeping behind the curtain when I arrived.
I was not.
You were so.
I only had a little look. And you're right, my lady. I've never seen anything like it.
And neither is Percy. He's trembling.
I do believe he's spellbound by Maeve's beauty.
Shaken rigid by emotions he's been taught to subdue all his cloistered life. I told you, Satan men are all the same.
I'm not a man, I'm a monk.
Really?
Quite so. And I can, of course, offer you considerable career prospects if you would prefer to rise within the church, Fursey. Let us observe the ecclesiastical wealth and power of Bishop Flanagan, or the mighty reputation of Father Furiosus, champion of the church militant. Look at them, Fursey. I can offer you either. I can offer you both.
Father Furiosus, welcome to my palace. Welcome to the kingdom of Kashal. It is an honor to have a man of your great reputation and sanctity in our city.
Thank you, Bishop Flanagan. But I assure you that I have quite unworthily acquired such a reputation. There does not walk the roads of Ireland a more depraved sinner than myself. It is in order to atone for my wicked and dissolute youth that I have given my miserable life in service to the church militant.
Satan protect us from militant Christian converts. Furiosa saw the light one moonlight night when a rather buxom lady offered to initiate him into the pleasures of the one sin he had never sampled. He was so terrified, he ran screaming to the nearest priest.
God called me, and I found sanctuary in the monastery at Glendalough.
Where he crippled the cook because the porridge was cold.
I continued my religious education at Bangor.
Where he deprived a lazy doorkeeper of his one good eye.
And I completed my training and took my vows at Clonfert.
where he killed a careless scullion who spilt holy water on the floor.
God works in mysterious ways, Father Furiosus. And the strength of your youthful spirit is what makes you the perfect wandering friar. No sinner nor sorcerer dares stand against you. The subversive lyrics of singers and poets are stilled by the news of your arrival.
Amen.
Amen, indeed. Half the souls in hell are driven there by the church militant. Sometimes even I envy their capacity to create sinners. Such power on earth. Don't you envy them, Fursey?
No, they frighten me.
In the next life, I will have power over them.
But not over me.
Don't be hasty, Fursey. Look again. See them all together. The bishop and the wandering friar are on their way to King Cormac's palace. I almost feel sorry for old Silkenbeard. His sins are about to be found out.
Is Cormac a true prince of the faith?
Indeed he is. He gives 1/3 of his spoils of war to the religious settlements.
Excellent.
And he will be most pleased that you have come to help in the exorcising of the demons that have plagued not only the monastery of Cormac Noise, but also the king's bedchamber.
The enchanted mice and fleas and cats that haunted Cormac's sleep are the result of the demon dream.
And, of course, it suits him to let Flanagan assume they're further manifestations of evil within the parish.
The good Christian bishop has already arrested an assortment of local subversives. Ventriloquists, acrobats, mathematicians, singers, poets and the like.
And one poor old woman.
The woman is known locally as the Grey Mare. We are sure she is the real culprit, the evil cause of all this witchcraft.
In such malignant cases, it is usually a woman.
Indeed. Well, this Grey Mare was denounced by the sexton of Kilcock Churchyard, a most worthy man called Cuthbert. When we seized her and formally accused her of being a witch, she claimed that Cuthbert was a sorcerer.
An evil woman's lie, of course.
Well, of course. Well, the good Cuthbert was examined at his own request, and his knees were found to be exceedingly calloused with frequent pain. I ordered his immediate acquittal.
And the rest of the suspects?
Well, all but two. He died under interrogation, and they were so badly crippled that they had to be carried to the stake, still protesting their innocence.
A pity! Burning is always a more colorful ceremony if the prisoner is marched through the streets to the flames.
Down, children, down. We'll have that pair in the fires of hell one day. Quiet. You are frightening our dear friend, Fursey.
Please, please. I don't want to see or hear any more of this. I can't bear it.
Why don't we go to Cormac's palace, my lord? I'm sure Fursey would much rather see Princess Maeve than listen to those two ugly priests, wouldn't you, Fursey?
Yes. I mean, no. I mean...
Oh. Is my father still sleeping?
Like a little pink baby. We'd better get Magnus to waken him sooner he'll melt in that warm water. Maybe we could persuade Magnus to have a bath. Oh, he's a man would be worth seeing without his clothes on, don't you think?
No, I don't.
Oh, no need to be coy with me. I've seen the way he looks at you.
You'll never see me return that look.
I don't understand you. I really don't. Magnus is the greatest champion your father has ever had. Women swoon when he passes.
I don't. He's a muscle-bound boar. He's incapable of intelligent conversation.
Oh, he's a man of action. Who needs conversation?
Visitors for His Majesty King Cormac Silkenbeard.
Oh, hello, Majesty. We're just talking. Oh, good Lord.
Bishop Flanagan and Father Furiosus to see your father, Princess May.
Magnus, will you please stop shouting? I have a headache.
Perhaps due to the weight of baubles in your hair.
Silk ribbons don't weigh much, my Lord Bishop.
Magnus, you will escort your lady and her servant to their quarters.
Yes, sir.
Where they will spend the rest of the evening reading the scriptures.
I'd want it, my Lord Bishop. This way, ladies.
Silk ribbons, the pussy.
Did you hear them? They were talking about men.
I heard. I will speak to her father. That girl is nearly 17. It's high time she was married.
Or in a cloister.
I doubt she'd make an obedient nun. No, marriage is the only thing for it. I'll arrange it. Do you ever wonder why God created women? They're the one creation that tempt me at times to doubt his infinite wisdom.
They are in the world for the trial and affliction of men, purely to ensure that man's entry into heaven may be the more glorious for having withstood their temptations. Are you inflicted much by their antics in Cashel?
Not since I became bishop. The public display of undergarments at the monthly fairs is now forbidden, and lovemaking has been subdued by the threat of ecclesiastical censure.
Personally, I find a blackthorn stick and a stout arm the most effective in subduing passion. But then, I am not blessed with your lordship's eloquence, nor your powers of excommunication.
Right. Listen.
What is it?
It's someone singing. What is this I see in the royal house of Cashel?
A scene reminiscent of the worst excesses of the Roman Empire.
Get out of that thing at once.
I can't. I'm stuck.
King Cormac, this is a grievous sight. I bring to you a powerful man of God, and what does he find in the royal house? Lack. Unrestrained living. Where did you get that device of the devil?
From a traveling salesman from the Eastern world. He said that all the best people in the Byzantine Empire have them.
And where is the Byzantine Empire now? Rotten with heresies.
Get out of that slough of sin at once.
Allow me. Cover your nakedness.
Cormac, I tremble for your immortal soul. You know, I may have to consider excommunication.
Why, I confess my sin and repent. Perhaps a small offering to the church. Say, 2 bullocks.
It is not advisable to be niggardly with God.
3 bullocks delivered to your stockade before sundown.
I shall give you absolution as soon as the 4 bullocks are delivered.
Then you shall surrender the bath to me for ceremonial burning.
Whatever the church says.
Bullocks and baths. What fools the clergy are.
But rich and powerful fools, nevertheless. Fursey, think of how a man of your simple goodness could change all that. If you were bishop of this diocese, it could only benefit the poor and needy. Wouldn't you like to be in a position to do that? I have the power to arrange it. You only have to say the word.
I
shall, of course, require your soul in exchange.
What?
Purely as a matter of bookkeeping, you understand. It's not a very valuable soul. Its market value would be small. But I'm a generous man. You won't find me haggling over the prize.
Father Robert, help me, help me!
My dear Fursey, what on earth?
Not earth, Father Robert, hell!
You've fallen asleep in your cell again, haven't you? It is all over, Fursey. We have won. You need not be afraid anymore. The demons are gone.
He's here!
Who is here?
The Prince of Darkness, he wants my soul!
Oh, don't be silly, Fursey. You've been dreaming. And what would Satan want with your little soul?
I know it's not a very valuable soul. He said its market value would be small, yet he offered me anything I wanted, anything in the world. Don't look at me like that, Father Abbott. I didn't seek this. He came to me.
What have you done, Fursey?
Nothing, I swear it. Pray with me, Father Abbott, please. We'll beseech the blessed Ciaran to release me from my clumsiness so that I can throw the holy water straight.
Are you telling me that you are physically and mentally incapable of exorcism?
Forgive me, Father Abbott.
Oh, Fursey.
Brother Fursey, you are to be commended for your fortitude in resisting temptation. But at any moment, your constitution may fail, and you may succumb to the unhallowed suggestion of the evil one. You are his foothold in Clonmacnoise. The brothers are all at risk as long as you remain within the holy city. Without you, Satan has no foothold here. We are all agreed.
You must go.
No, Father, no!
If it would afford you any satisfaction, I will rive the round towers with a ball of fire. I regret that I am not allowed to damage the churches or the cell.
I wish you'd go away.
I am your one loyal friend, Fursey. What are you going to do now?
What can I do? No religious settlement will admit me with the reputation I've acquired.
Put not your trust in Christians, Fursey. The world is a wonderful place.
I looked at the world a long time ago. And left it.
You should have come over to my side in the beginning. You could have been Pope by now.
What will become of me?
May I make a suggestion?
I'd rather you didn't.
This road leads to the great city of Cashel. 122 wattled huts, as well as the King's Great House and the thatched palace of Bishop Flanagan. You are sure to find employment there.
Doing what? I've spent most of my life praying and paring edible roots in the monastery kitchen.
Oh, don't worry. We'll find you something.
We? I'm not going anywhere with you.
I'm afraid you have no choice, Fursey. The children and I are also going to Cashel, and this road doesn't go anywhere else. Besides, I'd like you to meet a dear friend of mine, a poor old woman called the Grey Mare.
She's been accused of witchcraft.
Yes, and if there's one thing I can't stand, it's superstition.
I have instructed Magnus to take 4 bullocks from my stockade to yours, Bishop Flanagan.
Your sins are forgiven, Cormac. And now that you are decently attired, may I formally introduce Father Furiosus?
I'm honored to make your acquaintance. Your arrival here is well-timed. I have just received some very disturbing information.
More manifestations?
Apparently a collection of grotesque creatures is heading here along the Cashel Road. Some sort of gigantic circus led by a man in black and another dressed in the habit of a monk.
A monk?
Or a woman. Circuses are always occasions of sin.
My informant assures me there is a monk among this menagerie, which also includes quite large numbers of women who...
Who what, Cormac?
Who appear to be somewhat scantily clad, considering the rigors of the Irish climate. In fact, many of them have no clothing at all.
What?
Impossible. Who told you this fantastic story?
A passing beggar. A gypsy woman.
A woman. I never knew a lying story that was not traceable to a woman. They delight in evil fantasies. It is their nature.
You are very gullible, Cormac. Naked women? The very idea. I do not permit women without clothes in my diocese.
Why are the fields deserted? The hut's empty.
The entire population is just over the hill at the deep pool. The Grey Mare is to be tested there today.
A typical Christian test. If she sinks, she's innocent. If she floats, she's guilty and is burned as a witch. Either way, she dies. People love it. That's what passes for a good day out in these parts.
Silence for His Majesty King Cormac Silkenbeard, Bishop Flanagan, and Father Furiosus.
Oh, he's a big boy, isn't he? What are you doing in Cashel, darling?
Silence, woman. Your immortal soul is at stake.
Grimmir. You still plead not guilty.
Ask Cuthbert the sexton. He knows who's guilty.
Prepare for...
Allow me. It is important that these things are done correctly.
I know the procedure. Magnus, the right hand bound to the left foot. Left hand bound to the right foot.
Yes, sir.
And a rope around her waist to pull her out if she does not float.
Ooh, what other games do you boys play?
That's enough. Enough! Enough! Attach the rope.
Right, sir.
Immerse her!
long do we wait to see if she will float to the surface?
As long as it takes.
Still no sign, sir. Still no sign, sir.
Pull her out! God has demonstrated that she is innocent.
Wait! Give her a bit longer. It's better to be sure.
I say pull her out!
And I say wait!
What shall I do, Your Majesty?
This is a decision for the church, not the state.
Quite so. What is that noise?
What noise?
That noise.
Oh, my God! Look! Over there! Over the hill!
It's the demons! The demons from Tom McKnight!
Bishop Flanagan! King Cormac! Magnus! Everyone! Come back! We must all stand firm!
Indeed we must, Father Furiosus, darling. What a big, strong man you are. Would you like to dance with me? Shall I take all my clothes off first? Come back, Father Furiosus! Come back and stand firm!
And now, my dear Fursey, our ways must part for a while. But before I go, I want you to know that I have acquired a great affection and genuine regard for you.
I will not sell you my soul.
Your company has afforded me much pleasure. For the moment, that is enough. If at any time I can do anything for you, you only have to call. I will be in the Devil's Glen in Wicklow. The children and I are going there for a much-needed holiday. One last thing. An unfortunate fellow creature of yours is slowly drowning in that pool on the end of that rope. To rescue her would surely be an act of Christian charity, don't you think?
I was only trying to resuscitate her.
Who are you?
No one. Just a passing stranger.
You're a monk.
I was once. Not anymore.
They throw you out?
Yes.
Running after the women, were you?
Certainly not.
Where's everybody gone? Dirty pack of murderers! They left me to drown!
I'm glad that you recovered. I must go now.
Go? Go? You can't just go and leave me lying here. Catch me dead in these wet clothes. I'm a weak old woman. I never make it home all by myself.
Where do you live?
Just over there, in that hut beyond the pool. You'll have to carry me. I've no strength left in me. What with the interrogation and the underwater swimming.
Send him away, mistress. Send him away.
Shut up, Albert. Familiars are only supposed to speak when they're spoken to.
Excuse me. Who are you talking to?
Ask no questions and you'll be told no lies, Mr. Monk. And now, are you going to carry me over to me hut like a good Christian gentleman? Ooh, I enjoyed that. I haven't had a piggyback since I was a girl. Are you all right, Mr. Monk? You look a bit green around the gills.
It's exhaustion. I haven't had any sleep for 15 days and nights.
Lie down here, Mr. Monk, and rest your weary bones. It's warm and dry in this little hut, and I can guarantee you a good breakfast in the morning.
Mistress, please listen to me. He's nothing but trouble. My advice is to...
Albert, when I need your advice, I'll summon you. Now disappear.
You're talking to yourself again.
Go to sleep, Mr. Monk. Who knows what tomorrow may bring?
Do you reject Satan and all his works?
Mistress. Mistress, wake up, wake up.
What is it, Albert?
They're coming back. They're making their way down the path to the pool. Flanagan and Furiosus and the Abbot of Clonmacnoise, Thurze's old monastery.
No doubt they've come to see if my body floated back to the surface of the pool. The agents.
Shall we warn Thurze?
Yes, we'd better wake him.
Thurze?
Thurze? Thurze! Where's he gone to? Oh, no, he's running towards them. Father Abbot! You've come to take me home.
No, Thurze. Your expulsion from the monastery is absolute. You must accept God's will.
God's will? This villain was seen yesterday consorting with demons.
I have never sought their company. They came to me, and now they're gone.
Did they take an old woman with them?
No, she's in the hut over there.
I knew it. She floated to the surface.
No, I pulled her out. She was half drowned, but she recovered.
You saved the life of a witch.
If the woman did not float, then she is not a witch, but merely a woman. Where did you spend the night, Thurze?
In the hut.
With her?
Yes.
Alone?
Yes.
Ha!
So, an unmarried man and a woman spending the night together in one house without a chaperone in my diocese? I will not tolerate it. You will marry this woman immediately.
Marry?
There is no other way to avoid a scandal. If he doesn't make an honest woman of that witch, I put a penance on him that will cripple him for life. This one and the next.
My conscience wears heavily about the plight of this wretched man, and I should like to see him sick. Moreover, this godless woman's union with such a godly man as Thurze might even win her back to Holy Church.
And as a pious man, I am sure he can be trusted to inform us if she is engaged in the black arts.
All this is irrelevant. I would remind you both that I am the authority in his diocese, and he has committed a reserved sin. He must marry her, because I said so.
Well, then we are all agreed. Mm-hmm. For different reasons. Thurze?
Yes, Father Abbott?
You have a duty to marry this unfortunate woman. It is not a bad match. She appears to have a tidy little property.
With a fresh water supply close by.
She's a broken down hut near a stagnant pool.
I did not expect to find a sordid greed about material goods from one of my monks, Thurze.
A monk cannot marry.
Your vows are simple ones, and it is in my power to release you.
She's an old woman.
Then there will be less temptation to the desires of the flesh.
Better to marry than to burn.
Tell me what to do, Father Abbot.
You must marry her, Thurze.
Whatever you say, Father Abbot.
So, the rascal's going to do the right thing by me. I suppose he's not a bad-looking fella. Got a nice young face.
I'm older than I look.
Never mind, you'll do.
Then you are agreed.
It's not what I'd call a romantic wooing, but I suppose we could do our courting after the ceremony.
Are you saying yes, woman?
Yes. I'll try anything once.
Right. Let's get on with it.
Just a minute. Not so fast.
What are you doing?
Just giving me face a wipe and dampen down me curls. It's not every day a girl gets married.
Are you quite ready?
Yes, Your Honor.
I release you from your vows, Thurze. You are no longer a brother. You are free to marry, and may God bless you.
Thurze! Come inside this minute. It's nearly nightfall and we've got things to do.
Yes, my dear.
I'm afraid there'll be no time for lovemaking this wedding night.
Oh?
That scoundrel Cuthbert will be upon us soon, and we must prepare to defend ourselves.
Who's Cuthbert?
He's the sexton of Kilcock Churchyard. That crooked sorcerer who denounced me to the bishop.
Sorcerer?
Jealousy. That's why he did it. He's clever at the spells, but he's never bested me. Even though he has an unfair advantage with that graveyard full of unbaptized babies and murderers' bones at his disposal. Hey, where do you think you're going?
I just thought I'd go outside for a bit of fresh air, if you don't mind.
We'll both go.
You can keep a lookout for Cuthbert while I draw a circle round the house with a broomstick.
You have a broomstick?
Of course I have a broomstick. I'm a witch, aren't I? One step, two step, three step, four. Join the circle as you go.
Grey Mare, what does Cuthbert look like?
Hunched and horrible. Big lock of black hair falling over his forehead.
Does he walk in an odd sloping way?
That's him. Is he here?
Over there among the trees.
Quick, inside.
I thought I'd just slip away now while there's still time. Thanks very much for hospitality.
You can't leave a bride on her wedding night. And anyway, not too late. Listen. Get inside. Howl all you like, you hellhounds. You can't cross a circle and a pentagram. Damn, I should have made a wax image of Cuthbert. But it's too late. Never mind. Counter-offensive. Enchanted fleas, big as bats, and little mice as big as rats. That'll give them something to howl about.
Perhaps I could just slip away.
If you as much as put your nose outside that pentagram, Cuthbert will shrivel you up. What's the matter, husband? Lost your courage?
I never had any courage to lose.
What's that?
The rain. He sent rain to wash away the circle of the pentagram. The broom. Where's the broom? I must keep the line intact.
A skeleton! A skeleton! Sitting on the broom!
It's an image, a fake, projected by Cuthbert.
It's dancing! It's grinning!
It's not real! Burzee, you fool! Will you get out of my way? I must get to the broom!
The skeleton! It's turning into a great black beast!
Burzee, let go of me! I must redraw the circle! The rain! Cuthbert is breaking through the pentagram!
A woman! Grey Mare!
Mercy! Got closer!
Tell me what to do.
Do one thing for me.
Just tell me.
Kiss me.
What?
Kiss me. I'm your wife. You've never kissed me. Please, just the once, before I die.
May you rest in peace.
I cannot until you kiss me.
What?
No, not my hand, you fool. On the mouth.
Huh?
Please. Don't you know how unlucky it is to deny a dying wish?
Oh, bless me. Someone help me. I don't know what prayers to say over a dead witch.
Excuse me.
What's that?
Who's there? Excuse me.
Who is it?
I'm Albert.
Ah, a talking bear.
Bear? Bear? I'm not a bear, I'm a dog.
A talking dog!
All familiars can talk.
Familiars?
I was the Grey Mare's familiar. Every witch has one.
I'm afraid your mistress is dead.
I know. But a witch cannot die until she has bequeathed her powers and her familiar to somebody else. That's why she was in such agony till she breathed her spirit into you.
I
beg your pardon? Did you want to say something, Master?
Master? Do you mean... Are you telling me that I have become a sorcerer?
Yes, my lord Furzy. You have succeeded to the Grey Mare's powers. And incidentally, to me.
Oh.
I don't believe this. I've inherited a sorcerer who faints. Master. Master. Master, wake up. If I may make a suggestion, Master, you'll feel a lot better once you've eaten something.
I am
not your master. I've no intention of being a sorcerer.
Oh, you have no choice, I'm afraid. You have inherited the Grey Mare's powers, whether you like it or not.
I will never practice black magic.
Oh, it's not all black. Are you hungry?
Please don't remind me. I haven't eaten for days. There's nothing here but a moldy loaf.
Yes, there is.
Just pull on that rope hanging from the rafters.
What for?
For whatever you want. Think of the best meal you ever had and tug the rope 3 times.
Ooh, you do it. I can't. It'll only work for you. Go on.
1, 2, 3. Ah!
Dun, 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 dun. Congratulations, Master. You have just performed your first piece of magic.
I can't believe this. Is this real?
Of course it is. A leg of mutton, a flagon of ale, a loaf of soft white bread, and a sweet apple pie. Oh, smell it. Taste it.
I must... Well, I shouldn't. Oh, I'm so hungry.
May I recommend the mutton and the ale?
Just a little. I'm not used to extravagant living. Aren't you having anything?
I'll wait till you finish, Master.
I don't believe in inequality. Please eat with me.
No, I really don't think this is the appropriate
time. No, I insist.
You misunderstand me, Master. If you desire top quality service from your familiar, you must supply a feed at least every second day. Of your blood.
Of my blood?
Somewhere about your person, you'll find you have acquired a supernumerary nipple. It'll resemble a wart. That is where you suckle on me.
I will do no such thing.
You must. If you don't keep me well fed, my efficiency will drop, not to mention my beautiful shaggy coat. A good master is obliged to take pride in the appearance of his servant.
Am I also obliged to have you following me about everywhere?
Only when you require my expert help and advice. I automatically disappear when you dismiss me. I wouldn't be too hasty about that if I was you. You see, Cuthbert is on his way here. And although you also have the powers of a sorcerer, you don't know how to use them. And he does, as you well know.
I've got to get away from here, Albert. Could you... by any chance, fly me out on your back.
I'm a dog, not a bloody bat.
Well, advise me then. Can I escape through the wood?
No chance. You know too much about Cuthbert, and he won't take the risk of letting you leave in case you inform the authorities. Mm. He'll probably turn you into a toad if you attempt to escape by earthly means.
Oh.
You could fly out on the broom.
Huh? Of course, the broom. I forgot about that. Teach me how it works.
I don't know how it works. You don't appear to have quite grasped the nature of our relationship. You're the sorcerer, I'm the servant.
Then serve me. Advise me.
Well, now, speaking as a familiar of considerable experience, my advice is to make friends with Cuthbert. Convince him that you're committed to evil, beguile him into teaching you how to ride the broom, and then, when he's off his guard, fly away.
Not very experienced at evil, nor beguiling.
That I can teach you. I hope you're a quick learner. Cuthbert will be here very soon. He's nearly finished a morning training session with his pet gargoyle.
Pet gargoyle?
Nasty creature. Close-set eyes. A forked tongue that drips pure venom. Cuthbert is training it to be a politician. Any chance for supper, breakfast before we start?
Certainly not.
I'm not such a good teacher when I'm thirsty.
Start teaching now. Ha, 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 ha. Ho, ho, ho. Hee, hee, hee.
Well, what do you think? Do I sound evil enough?
Oh, what it'll have to do. Cuthbert's on his way out of the wood.
Now, don't panic, Lord Fursey. Make me disappear and I'll stay close by and whisper in your ear if you need any help. Could I have a little drink before I go?
No.
If you want quick, courteous service from me, you'll have to keep me well fed. My tongue's fair hanging out for a drop of blood.
I said no. Now disappear. Forgive me, God, for what I'm about to do. I've got to make Cuthbert trust me. The end justifies the means, and I'll seek forgiveness afterwards. I must be cunning. Make Cuthbert believe me.
A sorcerer at the start of his career. How I envy you.
Don't just stand there gawping, Fursey. Welcome him.
Welcome.
And may I be the first to welcome you to the oldest priesthood in the world, older than Druidism or Christianity. Do I discern from your apparel that you are a monk?
No, I'm a widower.
Ah, yes. Unfortunate business your wife's denies. I hope you bear me no ill will. I observed the wedding ceremony. It did not appear to be a love match.
Well, I have to admit that I have no strong sense of a deep personal loss.
Yeah, good. Then we can be friends and you can draw on my experience.
I'm not entirely new to the black arts, you know.
Really?
I am the monk who harbored the demons in the monastery of Clonmacnoise.
I heard that happened by accident rather than intent.
Oh, a clever ruse on my part to fool the abbot. Innocent as a dove, wise as a serpent, that's my style.
It's the style of all accomplished sorcerers.
Of course, I don't have your great experience. For example, I don't even know how to fly the broom. Perhaps you would do me the honor of teaching me.
All in good time. When we get to know each other better.
He's suspicious, Fuzzy. Convince him!
To give you some idea of my capabilities, perhaps I should just mention that the devil himself has personally commended me on my temperament.
You are personally acquainted with Satan?
Acquainted? Oh, he's my loyal friend, told me so himself.
That's shaking him. Go on, Fuzzy. Give Cuthbert a bit of evil chat while the going's good.
So, come on, Cuthbert, what's doing round here in the way of iniquity?
I beg your pardon?
You know what I mean? Any lively woman around? Circus artists? Witches? Vampires?
Don't overdo it, Fuzzy.
My dear man, you must learn to walk before you can fly. And I'd advise you to lay off the vampires. Their attentions tend to be somewhat destructive to the health of Earth.
I shall, of course, bow to your superior knowledge in these matters.
Nice one, Fuzzy. Now, offer him some food and plenty of ale. I happen to know that Cuthbert enjoys a tipple.
Yes, good meat, good wine, these things are excellent ale, Fuzzy, and great food. I have always said that the Grey Mare's magic rope is the best one in the country. I beg your pardon. Your rope now.
It's yours. What? Please, I insist, a gift from one good sorcerer to another.
I'm afraid it will only work for you, my dear Percy. But I am deeply appreciative of your most generous offer. If there is anything I can do for you, you only have to ask. How would you like to go to the crossroads with me and sacrifice a live cock by way of initiation into the Brotherhood, eh?
Now, Fuzzy, now!
If you could teach me how to ride the broom, I could travel to the crossroads in style.
Certainly, my dear friend. Another little drink, see, before we set off, eh?
We've got him!
I'll need a bit of practice first. I'll take the broom outside, and you can call out the instructions while you're finishing the reel.
Yes. Righty-o. I'll just have another little drink. Just shout when you're ready, Percy.
Thank you, Cuthbert. Won't be a minute.
Albert, take time, Master. Will you stop that?
Cuthbert, I'm holding the broom. What do I do next?
Right!
Quick, Albert, get on behind me. Me?
On a broom? Are you mad?
Your master does your toe.
Oh, that's better.
How do I make it fly, Cuthbert?
You just wicked.
Nothing's happening, Albert.
It won't fly, Cuthbert!
Your thinking is not confident enough. So the broom is unsure. Try giving your directions aloud.
Say it louder, as if you believe it's possible.
Broom, I command you to fly.
Master!
Control it!
I'm too fast.
Too low, we're heading into the tree. You're the sorcerer, commander.
Broom, slow down. Fly higher.
Oh, that's better. Now, direct it.
Broom, take me to wherever Father Abbott is.
Are you out of your mind? Those mad monks will tear you to pieces.
I confess to Father Abbott that I am now a widower and a sorcerer. I repent, and he'd forgive me.
You are out of your mind!
I agree with Albert. First, he's not a simple soul. He's just simple in the head.
No, he simply has a childlike belief in the goodness and justice of the abbot.
Who will, of course, do his duty to Mother Church and hand Fursey straight over to the bishop and Father Furiosus.
Of course.
It's what you want to happen. What are you up to, Satan?
Our poor friend Fursey is going to need our expert services when he goes on trial. Let us go to Cashel, Sister Gertrude.
Sister Gertrude?
Infamous Fursey! You stand accused of foul and evil deeds committed in association with a swarm of witches and wizards that has infested this noble kingdom. How do you answer these charges?
Not guilty, as God is my judge.
Excellent! A plea of not guilty means that you must be tortured. You'll have heard of the periwinkle upon the fingers and the binding and wrenching of the head with cord. The breaking of the body till the blood and marrow spurt.
Oh.
Revive the prisoner.
May I come in? Is it safe?
You need not be afraid, King Cormac. That heap in the corner is the mighty sorcerer. He is unconscious.
Gentlemen, we have a most distinguished visitor. May I introduce Prince Apollyon of the Byzantine Empire? I bring greetings from the Emperor of Constantinople to his noble brothers, the King and the Bishop of Cashel. And gifts, such gifts. An ox cart laden with boxes of gold and precious stones.
A mere token. From my emperor to his good friends in Ireland.
Oh, it is indeed an honor to make your acquaintance, my dear sir.
I didn't quite catch your name.
Apollyon, Prince of Byzantium. And you must be Father Furiosus. My emperor has sent a special gift just for you. Bring forth the canine, Sister Gertrude.
Here he is, my lord.
This noble dog is called a pointer and will be invaluable to you in your ramblings along the ditches and doorways of Ireland. He is specially trained to point out lovers from a distance of 30 paces.
You ruined my beautiful coat. I look like a half-starved whippet.
Quiet, Albert. His name is Albert, Father Furiosus. And my emperor had him trained especially for you. He's your greatest admirer.
I am overwhelmed. Prince Apollyon, please convey my undying gratitude to your emperor. He looks like a most sagacious animal.
He is tired from the long journey. My servants will feed and groom him and bring him to you later. Attend to the pointer, Sister Gertrude.
At once, my lord.
My most pious convert. Like you, Father Furiosus, she has done much in alleviating passion and lust the world over.
You too must be tired after the long journey, my dear prince. May I offer you a tankard of ale? I can personally recommend it. A most excellent brew from the monastery at Clonmacnoise.
Clonmacnoise? Now, where have I heard that name before? Oh, is not that where the notorious sorcerer Fursey posed as a monk?
You have heard of this infamous case.
You too are a traveler, Father Furiosus. You know how gossip abounds on the road.
Oh, it's not gossip. That's the blackguard lying over there.
Would you care to attend the burning?
He has been tried already.
He will be tried tomorrow. I am the prosecutor.
Oh, excellent. I don't envy the man who is conducting the defense.
What defense?
You don't have a counsel for the defense?
He fooled the Abbot of Clonmacnoise for over 20 years. He is capable of conducting his own defense.
Is it quiet? When I was a young man, I practiced law. Some of my cases resulted in the burning of as many as 20 sorcerers at a time on the banks of the Bosphorus. It would intrigue me greatly if you would permit me to be the defense counsel for this wretched Furzy. A legal tussle with the famous Father Furiosus would afford me the greatest intellectual pleasure, as well as providing me with a legendary story to tell to my children.
A man after my own heart. There is nothing I like better than a fight, mental or physical.
Quite. I appoint Prince Apollyon a counsel for the defense.
Shall we partake of some refreshment? I have instructed my servants to prepare a feast in honor of our distinguished and generous guests.
If it's all right with you, Your Majesty, and your illustrious priests, I would like to talk to my client. Alone.
Do you think that's wise? He's a very dangerous man.
I shall be in no danger. I have had many dealings with sorcerers.
I admire your courage, sir.
It won't take long. I shall join you all shortly. Furzy, wake up.
So, you've come for me. Aren't you a little premature? I'm not burnt yet.
How are you, my dear friend?
Well, you just go away and leave me to be burnt in peace.
Have confidence in me. I will never desert you. Why did you allow yourself to be caught? Why didn't you order Albert to thicken and obscure the air about you?
I'm a source of deep disappointment to my familiar. His main concern is his raging thirst.
Oh, my dear Furzy, you have no idea how much pleasure you give me.
Don't. I'm very frightened and very tired. I must not weaken to your friendship.
Fear not, Furzy. I, Prince Apollyon of Byzantium, have just been appointed as your defense counsel.
Oh, dear God.
I am in your debt for the hospitality you extended to myself and the children in your cell at Clonmacnoise, and can only hope that in view of your recent experiences, you might reconsider that little business proposition concerning your soul.
Never!
We shall see. And anyway, getting the better of these Irish clerics will satisfy me for the time being. Particularly his lordship, Bishop Flanagan. When that awful man finishes his career in this world and succeeds to hell, I bet you the first thing he'll do is organize a vigilante society to pester me with petty complaints about the nudity of the damned and the like. As if hell wasn't boring enough already. I tell you, Furzy, you're the most exciting thing that's happened to me for centuries. Good night. Sweet Furzy, and dreamless sleep. You will need all your simple strength for the morrow.
Are the instruments of torture oiled and ready, Magnus?
All prepared, Bishop Flanagan.
Excellent. The counsel for the prosecution may proceed.
I call Cuthbert, the sexton of Kilcock Churchyard.
Oh, no.
Don't panic, Fuzzy. Trust me.
Trust you?
You trusted that sanctimonious abbot, and look where it landed you. Unlike him, I always look after my own.
I'm not one of your own. Cuthbert is...
Cuthbert doesn't know who I am, but he will sense it, and it will make him uneasy. Trust me. I know what I'm doing.
You are Cuthbert, the sexton of Kilcock Churchyard?
I am. A man of noted piety and virtue, Prince Apollyon.
I know of this man, my Lord Bishop. My servants have often commented on his good reputation.
And I am deeply gratified, sir.
How did you happen to be in the vicinity of the Grey Mare's hut on the night of her demise?
I was startled from my prayers by fiendish and awful noises, the baying of hounds, the rattling of chains, the moaning of tortured spirits.
The souls of the damned in your churchyard, perhaps?
Pardon me, sir, but don't I know you from somewhere?
It's possible. I am an extensive traveler, and our paths may have crossed somewhere in the world. We are, after all, in the same business.
Huh?
Kindred spirits, so to speak. Oh, I do beg your pardon, Father Furiosus. I am interrupting your witness's testimony.
Not at all, Prince Apollyon. Continue, Cuthbert!
I followed the noises and they led me to the Grey Mare's hut, where I saw the two of them, the Grey Mare and the prisoner Furzy, drawing magical signs with that broom over there.
Tell the court what else they were doing.
They were singing.
They were what?
Singing, my Lord Bishop, and dancing.
Dancing? And how were they clothed?
Very scantily.
It was, I believe, their wedding night.
That is no excuse. Marriage is a serious business. Go on. The fiendish noises grew louder. The singing and dancing more lewd and abandoned. Never have I seen two people express such unholy joy in one another's company.
Joy? Joy? In my diocese?
My righteous indignation overcame my disgust, and I walked towards them.
Such courage!
I had my holy cross to protect me.
Such faith! Oh, I do apologize, Cuthbert. I didn't mean to startle you. Please, do go on.
What's the matter with you men? Continue your testimony!
I'm sorry, Father Furiosus. I don't feel very well. I'm not sure that I can go on.
You'd better, otherwise you'll have me to contend with.
The man, Fersey, the accused, turned and saw me. His face was bestial, evil. He raised his arm, snarled an incantation, and lightning flashed from his fingertips. I prayed, and by God's grace, the lightning passed all around me. The woman panicked and tried to escape on the broom. Oh, the sorcerer screamed at her to remain, and when she did not, he pointed his finger at her. The lightning flashed, and she was dead.
Murder.
Pull yourself together, man, and continue.
I am ashamed. My frail human courage failed. And I ran away through the wood. He pursued me in the broom. I reached the cottage, locked myself in, and fell into a deep swoon. When I awakened, at near daybreak, I found that he'd killed all my livestock. The sweet little calf, the sturdy donkey, the dear little ducks. All four of them cruelly slain.
We have had enough. The accused is the very synthesis of deformities. Let us proceed at once to break him on the wheel and tear his bones with hooks of iron.
Is there not a curious anomaly in this story?
Hmm? How so?
Was it not clearly demonstrated at the water trial, which you yourself conducted, Bishop Flanagan, that the Grey Mare was innocent of the charge of witchcraft, which this witness levelled against her, and was not this the man against whom this saintly Grey Mare laid a countercharge of sorcery? And did not the prisoner Furzy also claim, when arrested, that Cuthbert was the sorcerer who destroyed his much-maligned wife? Mere coincidence, do you think?
My Lord Bishop, I appeal to you.
The Grey Mare did not float. I would point out that anyone who doubts her innocence flies in the face of sacred tradition and canon law. and is in mortal danger of being branded a heretic. Is that not so, Father Furioso?
Perhaps, Bishop Flanagan, this man, Cuthbert, should also be put to the question.
Percy is guilty. I know it. And as for Cuthbert, there is an excellent pyre erected outside my palace. It can easily accommodate two.
My Lord Bishop!
Now the church's law in witchcraft proceedings is clear. Where doubt exists, convict. Burn all. God will look after his own in the next life.
That is true. Magnus, ensure there is enough kindling for a double burning.
Yes, sir. I beseech the court.
I object on Cuthbert's behalf.
You can't object on my witness's behalf.
I only wanted to say that I do not doubt the good sexton's account of what he saw, only his interpretation of it.
Hmm? What do you mean?
You may proceed.
My vast experience in these matters leads me to believe that what Cuthbert saw was not sorcery, but possession. The same evil demon who vilified the worthy sexton's character through the grey mare's voice now does the same through Fursey's. Would this not be a more likely explanation for these bizarre events?
It would, of course. I should have realized that Fursey was not in control of his actions. When he came after me on the broom, it was careering about all over the place, as if the rider was being driven by some turbulent dark force from within. The counsel for the defense is right. This poor unfortunate monk was possessed.
That is for the court to decide. Father Furiosus.
Such cases are not uncommon. I exorcised an archdeacon once who had accidentally swallowed a demon in a lettuce. If this monk is similarly possessed, I'll soon rid him of his tormentor. With your permission, Prince Apollyon.
Pray proceed, Father Furiosus.
Magnus, light the tapers!
What are you going to do to me?
Trust me, it will help. But it's better than being burnt as a sorcerer and having your ashes scattered to the wind. Fursey. Fursey. Wake up, Fursey.
Am I in hell at last?
No. There are no clergy here. You are back in your cell.
Trust you, you said. Better than being burnt, you said.
Don't be ungrateful. You're alive, aren't you?
They stick smoldering tapers up my nose and apply fire to the soles of my feet, and you expect me to feel gratitude? I suppose tomorrow I can expect to feel thankful when they put me on the rack.
Oh, no, not the rack. The deep pool. I persuaded them to immerse you as soon as it is light. I'm sorry you were unconscious for that bit. It really was a resounding victory for my powers of eloquence.
A victory? Whose side are you on?
My dear Fursey, they were about to disembowel you, dig the devil out. I convinced them that immersion was the proper procedure.
Driving or disemboweling? Some counsel for the defense you've turned out to be.
I had to get you back to your cell. I have a plan for your escape.
No, thank you. I think I'd rather be disemboweled.
Oh, don't be so romantic, Fursey. I have arranged for one of my servants to take your place.
That's very noble of your faithful servant. Won't he object to dying at daybreak?
Your substitute is a woman, and she's quite capable of taking care of herself. Take off your cloak and veil, Gertie, and give them to this gentleman.
The female demon?
I'm not a demon. I'm an elemental.
She is thousands of years older than Christianity, and therefore cannot be affected by holy water, adjuration, or exorcism. Isn't she lovely? Now put on that cloak and veil and go while there is still time. Quickly now. Go.
Right, I'll go.
He's weak and foolish. He'll never make it.
He has learned much in the last few weeks about the world, about himself. He has become stronger. Without realizing it.
Magnus, why have the population not turned out for the water test?
They're afraid that the demons may return, my Lord Bishop.
Faithless cowards!
Remove the prisoner's hood and prepare him for immersion.
Yes, sir.
It's a woman.
Hello, darlings. Anyone for fun and games?
bishop, the blessed cross, the holy water.
Oh, don't be so silly. You can't get rid of me with that modern Christian stuff. I'm thousands of years older than that.
Help! Help! Demons! Demons!
Magnus, come back this minute!
Perhaps he has the right idea, Father Furiosus.
Don't go, Bishop Flanagan. I've nothing in mind but your pleasure. Don't be difficult, darling. Relax. Submit. You'll never find a woman so passionate, so loving, so submissive to your every desire.
Help me, Father Furiosus. The flesh is weak.
Then the flesh must be mortified. We must force our minds to concentrate on something else. Quick, into the pool!
But it's icy cold!
Perfect for subduing the sinful lusts of the flesh! Begone, demon! We are made of stern stuff!
You're made of flesh and blood, like all men. Oh, don't catch your death of cold in there. Come out. Come out and let me warm you up.
We are immune to your unholy desires.
But are you immune to your own?
What? We will never submit. Never, never, never.
Never's a long time. I'll wait for a while, just in case you change your mind.
What do we do now, Father Furiosus?
Pray, Bishop Flanagan, pray.
Them, Gertie. We have more important fish to fry.
Furzy has found a cave to hide in, but he's burning up with a fever. He may not last the night. Summon the children to the cave. I will have Furzy's soul before he dies.
Oh God. Is you in heaven? Help me. Help me. Let me die now. Save my soul.
It's not a very valuable soul, my dear Percy. But you'll not find me haggling over the prices.
Help me, Father Rabbit, help me!
Submit to my will, darling. It's much more fun.
I've got a new husband, Mr. Monk. Meet Joe the Poltergeist. Say hello, Joe.
What my pet girl going to worship, Percy? Have a little sip of his pen and it will give you courage.
Albert!
Supper time!
No, oh, no! Go away, go away!
I can make them all go away, Percy. All you have to do is ask.
Hail and not have gargoyles and poltergeists cavorting in my cave.
Who are you?
I am the spirit of the blessed Kieran, the devoted follower of St. Paul the Dwarf. Only through his teachings will your soul find salvation.
Tell me what I must do.
You must forgo all life's sinful pleasures. You must cleanse your body with solitude, starvation, deprivation, and pain. You must wear a hair shirt both day and night, and flagellate yourself with spiked thongs at sunrise and sunset. It is the only true way to achieve a state of ecstasy and grace, so that your soul can fly into the kingdom of heaven.
Don't talk rubbish. You're as mad as Flanagan and Furiosus.
Heresy.
Blasphemy.
No. Enlightenment. Perhaps now, Flanagan, we can talk business.
Never. My soul is my own, not Satan's, not the church's.
Gertie, my angel, welcome back to Ireland. I've missed you dreadfully.
No, you haven't. I've been in Byzantium for 6 months, and you haven't contacted me once. I mean, what's the point of me ripening souls if you won't even bother to pick them when they're ready?
I'll claim them later.
You'll claim them later? How much later? How much longer are you going to sit around in this dreary country waiting for Furzy to weaken? Forget him. He's a lost cause.
Brother Furzy is no more.
The fever killed him?
The fever cured him. 40 days and nights he slept, and when he wakened, he left his dark little cave, walked to Cashel, and did exactly what I advised him to do the first time he took that road.
He sold you his soul?
He got himself a job as a pool attendant. And fell for the delightful Princess Maeve.
Princess Maeve!
One for Father Furiosus. One for Bishop Flanagan.
Why couldn't they have sunk to the bottom of the pool like stones? Then I wouldn't have to get married tomorrow.
That can't make you get married, my Lady Maeve.
But they can make me enter a nunnery if I refuse. Oh, I wish I'd been born a peasant like you. Then I could choose my own husband.
Huh. Someone like that half-wit pool attendant Flinthead.
Flinthead is not a half-wit.
No one with all their wits about them would live in that hut. That's where the evil sorcerer Forsey murdered the Grey Mare.
Flinthead is good and kind and gentle. He talks to me and listens to what I have to say. And no one in my life has ever talked to me before. Flinthead! Flinthead!
Hello!
Aren't you in your hut today?
Of course, my lady. I thought not to intrude with you and your servant.
How many times do I have to tell you? My name is Maeve.
Your father and Magnus are coming up the hill, my lady.
Maybe I'll return to the hut.
No, please stay. Oh, Flinthead, why couldn't you have been born a prince? Or at least a rich landowner?
I turned down all the power and the riches in the world once. I even turned down you.
I don't understand.
Someday I'll tell you. Albert? Albert? Albert, I command you to appear.
That dog! The pointer that Prince Apollyon gave to Father Furiosus.
He's not a pointer. He's my familiar. His name's Albert. Huh? Why didn't you come when I first called you? Answer me, Albert.
Oh, Flinthead.
God help him. He is mad. He thinks the animal can talk.
He can't talk. Albert, if you don't answer me, I'll turn you into a toad. You couldn't turn a toad into a toad. You're the most hopeless wizard I've ever encountered.
Ah! I spoke. The dog spoke.
Albert, are you all right? You look terrible.
No, I'm not all right. I've no strength left for anything. Appearing, disappearing, giving advice. I'm wasting away for want of a good feed. I'm so anemic that my beautiful coat is falling out in handfuls. You've turned me into a mangy old cur.
Magnus, do something!
Sir! There's no need for the sword, Magnus. I give myself up willingly.
Don't trust him. It's a trick.
Please, don't be upset, Princess Maeve. There's no danger.
But there is to you. They will burn you alive. You know they will. Oh, Flinthead, why are you doing this?
Well, you're to be married tomorrow. But I've nothing left to live for, m'lady.
Look at them, the good Christians of Cashel, out in force to throw stones at Furzy.
They're not all from Cashel. Some of them are pilgrims. They've come to worship at the shrine of the Grey Mare.
The what?
Not long after you left for Byzantium, Father Furiosus declared her an innocent Christian martyr who'd been murdered by her evil sorcerer husband.
And it's only them agreed.
Once I'd pointed out the small fortune to be made, selling relics and miraculous cures at her statue. I personally bless the hallowed ground where she is buried.
You didn't! You didn't!
Please listen to me. She was not a martyr. She was a witch. And Prince Apollyon is the devil. The gifts of gold were spectral, and that's why they all vanished the moment he left the city.
Lies, lies, all lies. The gold vanished because you stole it.
Together with my pedigree pointer.
Albert is not a pointer, he's a familiar.
Gold! Gold, my lord bishop, gold!
Prince Apollyon has returned to the city and is distributing gold to the entire population.
Whoa. Well, Percy, why would Apollyon come back to Cashel if he were really the archfiend Lucifer?
To rescue me. He's the one being who really cares what becomes of me. And I have betrayed him.
Don't be ashamed, Fuzzy. I am the father of lies, deception, and double dealing. I am delighted that you have betrayed me.
It is true. You are Lucifer.
Oh, please, Father Furiosus, put down that nasty holy water. Remember Ireland's reputation for hospitality. I'm not here as an enemy. I have come to make terms with the Irish clergy.
Never!
But you haven't heard what I'm offering yet.
What? Don't listen to him!
Father Furiosus, which is the greatest sin?
Decent people don't name it.
Come now, we're all adults.
The most heinous sin of all sins is... sex!
Quiet. You know that. The church knows that. But not the Irish peasantry. Now, if the Irish clergy were to promise me that in future such sins as greed, nepotism, drunkenness, perjury, and murder were judged by the church to be merely minor incidences of sin, then I would guarantee the population of Ireland immunity from the temptation to enjoy sex. Sex in Ireland would become what all good Christians know it should be, an occasion of duty and guilt.
You can guarantee this.
I can guarantee it.
I have always thought that perjury and murder are merely the natural exuberance of a high-spirited and courageous people.
Yes, and quite, and as a small bonus, I can also guarantee the clergy of Ireland wealth and the respect of their people for all time.
And I have always thought that accusations of greed and nepotism are invariably raised by miserly parishioners unwilling to subscribe to the upkeep of their worthy pastors.
Then we are agreed, gentlemen. To seal this bargain, all you have to do is order the church bell to ring out the good news.
Let the church bell ring out the good news!
No! Don't do it! Don't agree! Don't do it! Don't they know what they've done? They've compromised with evil.
I'm beginning to wonder what I have done. Hell will be full of the Irish clergy, which is an appalling prospect for a demon of sensitivity and breeding like me.
I thought you'd gone for good.
I rarely go for good. Unless it's exceptional goodness, like yours. You know, Fursey, that I would exchange the souls of all of them, born and unborn, for your soul.
No.
Farewell, Fursey. If you ever change your mind, you only have to call.
Flinthead!
Maeve! What are you doing here?
I have come to warn you. They are planning to burn you immediately after the wedding ceremony. Oh, Flinthead, by nightfall you will be dead and I'll be married to a brainless bully. Unless...
Unless what?
Are you still a sorcerer?
I'm afraid so. I'm sorry, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Then you can still fly the broom. It's over there, in the corner. It's been there ever since your trial. Does it hold two?
Two? You would risk going with me.
Oh, Flinthead, I would go anywhere with you.
Arrest them, Magnus.
Yes, sir.
Scarlet hussy, damned sorcerer, you will both burn.
If any of you dare touch her, I'll turn you all into toads. Maeve, take my hand and climb on the broom.
Whatever you say, Flinthead.
I'm not Flinthead. I'm Fursey, the most terrible and powerful sorcerer that Ireland has ever known. And I'm eloping with the most beautiful Princess Maeve of Cashel. Fly, broom, fly!
Where are we going, Lord Fursey?
How do you fancy flying to Britain and opening up a closer shop? We can pick up the magic rope on the way.
Oh, Fursey, you are simply the most amazing man in the world!
Well, there they go, Gertie. The first of the Irish immigrants.
And good riddance to them. What do we do now?
I think we might go to Britain for a while.
I don't understand your fascination with this man.
I am always fascinated by truly good men. They are the only thing that makes my job worthwhile.
Perhaps Fursey is truly incorruptible.
Perhaps. But we will stay close by just in case. I mean, wouldn't it be a terrible waste if I wasn't around and he became, well, vulnerable?
I don't have your ambition. I like the ones who are easily tempted. Are there many men like Percy on this earth?
Not many. It could be centuries before I find another.
What will you do till then?
Wait. I have all the time in the world.
In The Unfortunate Fursey by Mervyn Waugh, John Hewitt played Brother Fursey, Timothy Bateson, the Devil, and Gertie was played by Fenella Fielding. The Grey Mare was Anna Manahan, Albert, Richard Howard, Cuthbert, Birdie Sweeney, the Abbot, Louis Rolston, Bishop Flanagan, Maurice O'Callaghan, Father Furiosus, Gerard McSorley, King Cormac, Joe McPartland, Maeve, Anna Ryan, Magnus, B.J. Hogg, and the servant, Maureen Dow. The Unfortunate Fursey was dramatised for radio by Christina Reed and directed in our Belfast studios by Owen O'Callaghan.